listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Thanks for joining us today on An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Amanda Harrison here with my co-host, colleague, and friend, Tim Tarantine, and we are here to explore the insights and expertise of one of North America's top 50 in the site consultant industry. Tim, tell us a little bit about who you spoke with this week.
Sure. I had the pleasure of speaking with Dan Breen. He's with Jones Lang LaSalle. He serves as an executive vice president there. He brings 16 years of experience, and he is really a specialist in implementing state and local tax credits for companies. And he also does a great job of analyzing their financial state and the taxes to make the deals work for companies. The other thing that I think is really interesting about Dan's current work is that it's so diverse. He's figured out significant incentives throughout the U.S. and the Caribbean. He's done manufacturing, distribution, disaster recovery, call centers, headquarters, administrative buildings. I mean, you name the industry, Dan seems to have done great work in it, serving his clients and bringing his expertise to the table. Now, before he was with Jones Lang LaSalle, he served as the director and the Northeast practice leader with Grant Thornton. He also does some great work for ADP in his past. He's been working in the New York and New Jersey area most of his career. He's a member of the State Bar in New Jersey. He's a CPA in New York and New Jersey. I could go on for hours about Dan's credentials, but more than that, he's truly passionate. I've met Dan. I've seen him do his work, and he is truly, truly passionate about site selection and helping the companies get what they need. So sit back, relax, and listen to one of the true stars in this industry. Dan, it's great to have you on the podcast today. Again, congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants. I want to jump right in where we always do. What are three things everyone should know about you, Dan?
Well, thanks, Tim. I guess three things I'd say would be that first, this is my first ever podcast. I'm looking forward to it.
And, yes, yes, yes.
And hope it's enjoyable. Secondly, I've been involved in this business from a variety of different perspectives, corporate accounting firms, HR payroll firms, and now real estate, but I've never been on the government side. I do, however, volunteer on my township's Economic Development Advisory Committee, so that's been invaluable to me in helping me understand the challenges faced by government trying to effectively manage development in their communities. And then I guess third, on a personal note, I'm a New Jersey hockey dad. I've got four kids, three of them play hockey, so I'm not around much on weekends, but you can usually get me on my cell phone.
I was just going to say, so you're either doing real estate or ice estate, but either way, you're right there with the kids in the different rinks all the time, huh?
You got it, too.
Good times had by all. Let's take a trip back to your genesis in this industry. So how did you get involved with site selection? Did you seek after it, or did it kind of find you on your pathway?
I would say I sought it in terms of a specific role. About 20 years ago, I was a financial analyst at a manufacturing company, going to law school at night, and they were undertaking a national expansion program and decided to create a position for someone to work with communities, assist with site selection and incentives, and help champion the associated opportunities within the company. So I thought I'd take a swing at this, a very different position than what I'd been doing in the past. I thought it would be interesting and help me kind of go from finance into the legal tax position. Or profession, rather. I did not anticipate that I'd be doing it for the next 20 years, more or less.
Sure. So when you let's now transition to kind of this, the way you do your craft. So every site selector is different. You all have different experiences. You come from different backgrounds. You just explained a part of your journey there. Tell us about kind of the inside baseball on what are the challenges or key issues that your clients are facing today. And then the B part of that question is, what can economic developers do about that? How can we begin to address or overcome some of these key issues that just keep popping up?
The one thing I really look for, let me put it to you this way. Dwight Eisenhower is supposed to have said something along the lines of, no plan of battle ever survives contact with the enemy. Mike Tyson said the same thing a lot more succinctly. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's right.
The point being, almost any project I've ever worked on, despite the best intentions of the company, the consultant, and the economic developers slash government, ends up changing in some way, you know, often dramatically. So I guess my inside secret, the thing I try to offer and always look for, is flexibility, because seldom will a project look the same at the end as it did on paper at the beginning. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, especially in a government environment. So, you know, to your question, you know, how to do that, again, knowing what you can and can't do, being ready to be flexible, going into a project that change may be inevitable, and how do we react to that, manage it, communicate it, et cetera.
So when you're assessing a situation, so when you're looking at a project, right, or you're looking at a community for a project, I should say, what's kind of one of those things that you look at that's particular to you or to your experience, right? So these nuances that site selectors look at when they're looking at a community. What are you looking for in a community?
One of the things I've learned is, you know, once you get past the press release and the incentives and the ribbon cutting and what have you, you know, you've got to do business in a community for the long term. And I guess what I would say is that, you know, you want a community that's going to be a good home for the company with an eye towards the long term. And that means a lot of things, right? It means kind of a welcoming and positive attitude. It means a labor force that's going to be available and is going to be able to kind of grow, hopefully, with the company. It means project facilitation for the economic developers in the sense of, we're going to help you through this project and help you not only through it, but even after it, in terms of making you part of the community here and making you part of the business community and helping you succeed here. So, you know, I guess what I would say is what I look for is, again, kind of, you know, the right fit from the long-term perspective, you know, not just the headline splash when the project first happens.
Sure. Absolutely. Speaking of marketing your community, it's obviously a game today in economic development that has a lot of nuances, including budget restrictions, right? And so for communities with quote-unquote limited budgets, what do you think the most effective tools those communities can invest in to effectively market their community?
Well, I think from a marketing perspective, you know, a good website and probably a good email blast process is going to be very effective, right? That's probably the most cost-efficient way to meet a lot of people. As far as operations, you know, sort of what economic developers do, you know, a lot of times what projects need is less kind of dollars, you know, incentives, what have you, than it is, you know, something of a concierge in the community. So it goes back to kind of that comfort level I talked about earlier, helping the company, understanding the company's needs, managing expectations, connecting the right people in and around the community, providing guidance and counsel concerning potential challenges and pitfalls, helping with managing communication. I guess it costs money to staff an organization, but these issues to me are more about service. It's a way that a community can really help its reputation and help projects happen without necessarily having to spend money per se. Bigger picture, I guess, you know, incentives always there, but I think what the incentives need to be is, you know, or can be in a budget crunch situation, align them with performance, make them, you know, prospective, where you're deferring tax revenues or foregoing tax revenues you'd otherwise get. And I think companies are generally going to be okay with that as long as the tail and the compliance requirements aren't, you know, overly long or complex.
Sure. So speaking of the market, I know that there are states and communities that are catching your eye nowadays, right? What are those communities doing to win your attention, to keep your attention in terms of their ability to be a place where business wants to go?
Well, I'll start off by citing my home state of New Jersey. They're trying very hard. They've got some what I call institutional challenges, and those are going to be there, but they are doing what they can to kind of overcome those and be more business friendly. And they're trying very hard to get that message out to the business community. They recently opened a marketing wing, or recently, I guess it's 3 or 4 years ago now, Choose NJ, to go with the traditional kind of Department of Commerce. It's now called the Business Action Center and the Economic Development Authority. And I think that's been effective and it's really helped the state's profile. You know, you look around this particular region, New York, Connecticut, Delaware are more supportive of economic development, we might think. They've, in various instances, been very proactive and positive in support of projects I've worked on. And I think that reflects a general recognition that the Northeast, you know, I mentioned those challenges that New Jersey has. The Northeast has to overcome those challenges, and to some extent they do that with incentives. Outside of the Northeast, you know, states that jump to mind. South Carolina does well. I think Utah is aggressive. Kentucky. I like what Michigan's doing. I think Michigan's another state, you know, not the Northeast, obviously, but some of the same kind of institutional challenges, trying very hard to be aggressive and get that word out. But, you know, I'll tell you, a lot of states do well. I think if you look back over the course of 20 years that I've been around this, it's much more sophisticated, much more effective, and I think that the methodologies are much stronger almost universally than they were back in those days.
So I'm hearing you say it's about being on point with your message. It's about being aggressive about who you really are today and making sure that you're communicating that to the right people. That continues to be a winning strategy we hear from site decision influencers, particularly those who are in the top 50 site consultant world. Let me get you out of here on this question. And I wish we had all day to talk, but if you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would you tell them?
I think to understand the vital role that you play in your community. Ron Kitchens, our mutual friend, you know, says something to the effect that the biggest difference you can make in somebody's life is to provide them a job and everything that comes with that. And from my own personal anecdotal experience through what I've seen as a professional, I can tell you that that's true. It makes an enormous difference in people's lives. And, you know, when I look at my community locally, we lost a major company some years ago, and it was going to have disastrous impacts on the community. We were able to, working together, find a way to replace that. And it's made an enormous difference in the financial well-being of the people in our community and in the employment. And obviously that trickles down into the personal lives of the people in our community. Always be aware of what a difference you can make. I know it's probably a thankless job sometimes. I know it's probably a difficult job sometimes, and companies can be difficult and communities can be difficult and everything, but you do a critical job. People out there who understand how these things work are very grateful for the work you do. You're greatly appreciated by people like me who are trying to bring companies to communities and facilitate projects, job creation, and investment in those communities.
No question about it. Dan, thank you so much for being a part. If this was your first podcast, I got to tell you that this is the first time we've led with a Mike Tyson quote. So I appreciate you for being on. You did a great job, and we hope to talk to you real soon. Thanks and congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Thanks so much, Tim. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Have a great day.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.